So we're going to start Mirtz Hashem on the bottom of Daf Hey Amid Beis. So if you have the Gemara on Daf Hey Amid Beis, we're going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of the Amid. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamotzi Michamis Leflatya Derech Stoyo is Chayev, who Ben Azai Poter. So we're talking about a case of a person who carries something from a Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabin, but he goes through what's called a Mokom Ptur. And that's called a stayo. A stayo was the place you have the flatya. The flatya is the square in the middle of the city, center of the city. That's a classic open area, which is a rishus harabim, where the rabim go. But there's a certain area where the sellers, they put their stalls, and that's a place where the rabim can't get to, and therefore it loses its status as a rishus harabim. And it has the status of a Mokom Ptur. Now, he picked it up in a Rishus HaYochid. That's called a Chanus, a store. He brought it into and put it down in a Flatya, which is a Rishus HaRabin. But he walked through a Mokom Ptur. And the Braisa says he's Chayv Chatas. That's according to the Tanakhama. Ben Azai Poter. Ben Azai says he's not Chayv Chatas. He did not violate a Malacha of Hotsav. So the Gemara now analyzes this price. So Bishleim ben Azai, I can understand the Shita ben Azai, the reason why he's potter, is because Savar, the famous Shita of ben Azai, is that Mahalech Ka'ome Domi, which means that anytime you put your foot down as you're walking, it's considered like you stopped. And that's called Hanochas Haguf, when the body stops, it's as if he had put the object down wherever his body stops. Now, according to Ben Azai, every time he takes a step and he puts his front foot forward on the ground, at that point it's considered like he made a hanocha. And it turns out now that he picked up the object in a Rishus HaYochid, and he put it down in a Mokom Ptur, which is called the Stoyo. And then he picked it up from the stayo and put it down into a rishus harabim in the flatya. So what in essence what happens here is that it never went from a rishus hayochid into a rishus harabim without being munach in the middle in a makom ptur. That's according to Ben Azai. The Rabbanon, El Rabbanon, Nehi de Nami de Kasavi, even though they hold Mahalech Lavka Ome Domi, so it means that even though when you put your foot down, you're simply putting it down for a split second until you can move your foot forward, so that's not called a Hanocha. So the Gemara says, therefore I understand that the Akira was in the Chanus and the Rishus HaYochid, the Hanocha was in the Flatya, which is the Rishus HaRabim. But nevertheless, he took it through a Mokom Ptur. He didn't go directly from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara asks, Heichi Ashkechana, where do we find the case, Ki Hai Gavna, similar to that, De Chayav, where he would be Chayav. The Gemara is asking, perhaps, the Torah, and this is what we're going to derive from the Mishkan, only is Mechayav you from a violation of Meleches Hotso, when you go directly an Akira from Rishus HaYochid and Hanochet Rishus HaRabim, but there's no Rishus in the middle. Omar of Safra, Omar of Ami, Omar of Yochan. Here we're going to start the Daf for today, and that's on Daf Mem, Davov Omar Aleph. Midi Dahavi, I have a paradigm. Amavir Chefetz Rishus HaRabim. Now the law is the following. If you pick up an object in the Rishus HaRabim, and you walk and carry 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim until you put it down, let's say you don't put it down exactly at the end of the Rishus HaRabim, you walk a little bit further. So let's say, for example, just to give an example, he walks 6 amos in Rishus HaRabim, Hasam, Lav, and yet he's going to be Chayav, right? Because the minimum is Arba Amos. He carried it six Amos. His Lav, shouldn't we say, Afal Gav, the Kama Denokitle, the Azil Potur, the extra two Amos, beyond the four Amos, he's not Chayav for that. He really added a whole piece here of two Amos, which is completely irrelevant to his chiyuv. His chiyuv would have been chal had he put it down at the end of the four Amos. He carried it now an extra two Amos. Is ki manechle chayev, and yet when he puts it down at the end of six Amos or five Amos, whatever it is, he's chayev. So we see that even though he took it through a piece which doesn't add anything, it's totally irrelevant. So if we start the Akira at the beginning of the six Amos, and we look at the Hanocha six Amos later, there were two Amos in the middle where he carried it, and that was not part of it, did not contribute to his Chiyuv at all, because he would have been Chayuv at the end of four Amos. So when he carries it another two Amos, that's completely superfluous. Is therefore you see that even though you took it through a makom ptur, a place where you're not chayev at all, it's the extra two amos of carrying does not in any way contribute or generate a chiyuv, is nevertheless your chayev. Is hafinami here too when you took it from a chanus to a flat yederach stayo, is lo shna, you should be chayev anyway. We don't care about the fact that you carried it through the stayo. Gemara says mi dami, that's not a fair analogy. Hasam in the case where he carried it for six Amos in Rishus HaRamim, Kol Hecha de Manechle, anywhere he would have put it down in the increment between four and six Amos, Makom Chiyuv, he would be Chayiv for such a thing. Aval Hacha, but here, Imanechle Bistayo, had he put it down in this area, which as we said before, blocks the Ravim, so it doesn't have a status of Rishus HaRamim, but rather Makom Tur, who, and therefore he would be Potter. Ella says the Gemara, I have another equation. Midi dahavia mavir chefetz mitchilas arba lisof arba. This is what's called bitzimtzum. Bitzimtzum means he put it down precisely at the end of four amos. Hasam, in that case, and ischayev, lav, even though, afagat di manachle, had he put it down anywhere in the middle of the four amos, from point A to point B, from the beginning of the four Amos to the end, anywhere betoch arba Amos, potter. He would be potter. Is ki manechle b'sof arba Amos. Nevertheless, when he puts it down at the end of four Amos, chayev, is hachinami lo shna. Here too, when he carries it through the stoyo, he's going to be chayev. Again, the Gemara rejects this analogy. Mi dami hasam, there, legabe high gavr, it's true that relative to this individual, Makom Ptur, but that's not objective. That's only for him. It's a Makom Ptur because it's in the middle of the Dalet Amos, and if we put it down anywhere within the Dalet Amos, he would be potable. Kuli Alma, vis-a-vis anyone else, Makom Chiyuv. That's a real Rishus HaRabin. So, for example, if somebody would pick up the object in Rishus HaYochid and carry it or throw it into any of those points, you know, in the middle between the two bookends of the beginning of Dalet Amos and the end of Dalet Amos, he'd be chayav for such a thing. But hacha, in the case of Estayo, l'kuli alma makom ptur, that's objective for the entire universe, a makom ptur. Ella says, the Gemara, we have to find another paradigm for this case of Estayo. Midi dahavi, we should compare it to amotzi rishus hayochid rishus harabin derech tzidei rishus harabin. Now, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Rashi explains, is a case where you have a courtyard, and that's your private courtyard, so it's, let's say, walled in, and the wall is broken. That's called Nifritza HaMachitza. The Machitza is open. It's open 10 Amos in each direction. And therefore, there's no blockage now. Nothing is separating the Rabim from going into that area. But nevertheless, the question is, what is the status of that area? Right now, the Gemara is reflecting the Shita of the Chachamim, which in Masechta Erevin is going to be rejected by Rav Eliezer. And the Gemara holds that area that is privately owned, it's your own, let's say, Gruvain's Chatzer, even though the Machitza was broken open, and anyone from the Rabbin could have access to that area, but nevertheless, it's not really part of Rishus HaRabim. And that's called Sidei Rishus Rav. It's off on the side. And Hasam. So again, he picked it up in Rishus HaYochid. He went into Rishus HaRabim, then he went into the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, went back into Rishus HaRabim, put it down in Rishus HaRabim. Lav, isn't it true? Afal Gav, despite the fact that he manichle at Tzidei Rishus HaRabim potter, had he put it down in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, he'd be potter, but ki manichle, when he carries it without stopping, and he doesn't do anocha in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, but rather he puts it down, the anocha was in Rishus HaRabim chayo. So you see that even though he carried it through a makom p'tur, he's still chayav. Is hachinami lo shna. Here too, in the case where he carries it through the stayo, he should be chayav. So the fact that in the middle he carries it through a makom p'tur is irrelevant. It doesn't remove his chiyu. So that works out according to the Rabbanon. But maskif le Rav Papa, ha nicha, that works according to the Rabbanon. It's the Gemara in Mesech Erev and Daf Tzadi Dalet, the Amri thereof, the opinion that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Lav Kirishus HaRabim Domi, the status of this side area, which even though it flows through the main thoroughfare, the main artery, nevertheless it's not a Rishus HaRabim, because it's off on the side, it really belongs to the Chatzer, it's just that Nifritzah Chatzer, so that's fine, but can you work this out according to Rabbi Eliezer? Elo le Rabbi Eliezer di Omar. His opinion is against the Chachamim. Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Kirishus HaRabim Dami, that since the Rabbim have access to that area that now has no separation from the Rishus HaRabim, therefore it's an extension of Rishus HaRabim, has the identical status of Rishus HaRabim. So the fact that you carried it from Rishus HaRabim through Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is irrelevant, because Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is also Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, do we have a source for the halach of stayo according to Rabbi Eliezer? Omo le Rav Acha b'rei Rav Ika. Now the Gemara is going to make a limitation rule in Rabbi Eliezer. There are certain cases in which Rabbi Eliezer would agree that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim have the status of a makom p'tur. And that's based on something called chifufei. We'll explain as we go on. Amar deshamet. When did we hear Rabbi Eliezer that he says the Amar Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Kirshus HaRabim Domi? That's only because the Rabim, the people are walking down the main thoroughfare. There's no blockage whatsoever that separates them from Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. They just simply flow in there, and that's where the traffic goes. But that's only hecha delecha chifufe, where there are no chifufe. If there are chifufei that separate the Rabim from the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, mi shamet le? Did we hear, this is a rhetorical question that Rabbi Eliezer would hold, that it has the status of Rishus HaRabim? Now what are these chifufei? So what happens is that people who are homeowners and their homes are contiguous to Rishus HaRabim, they don't want to have the Rabim go all the way up to the front of their homes. So what they do is they set up chifufei. Chifufei are low poles that are in the ground, and they make it very difficult for the people who are carrying their wagons and so forth and so on to go all the way up to the facade of their house. So that sort of separates the people. And although theoretically they could go between the chifufei every couple of meters, there's another chifufei, but nevertheless the people get the message and they understand that this is set aside as a private area. Trespassers stay out, so to speak. And therefore, even though Rabbi Eliezer in general holds that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, as insofar as it's a flow that continues from the Rabbim, is Rishus HaRabim, but the exception is the case of chifufei. And yet Hilkach Lo Hadalya, in this case where he carries it from Rishus HaYochid through the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaRabim, he's chayav, even though the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim in this case, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, has the status of a makom p'tur, because it's set aside from the main thoroughfare with chifufei. Now we go back to Ben Azeh. If you recall, Ben Azeh said that Mahalich Ka'omi Domi, every time that you put your foot down, it's considered as if you did a Hanukkah and you stopped over there. So therefore, if a person would pick up an object in Rishus HaYochid, according to Ben Azai, if he carries it through a Makom Ptur, like a stayo, and then he puts it down in Rishus HaRabim, he'd be potter. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Umode Ben Azai Bezorek. What about a person who is standing in a chanus in Rishus HaYochid? He throws an object into the main square, which is called a flatyo, and it's Rishus HaRabim, but it flies over a stayo, which is a makom ptur, says Rabbi Yochanan. In that case, there's no mahalech ka'omi domi, and therefore, even Ben Azai would say in that case that you're chayev. And the Gemara now proves this from a brisa. Tanya nami hochi learned in a brisa. Hamotzi michanus leflatya derech stayo chayev. This is the shita of the chachamim. The chacham hold that we don't say mahalech ka'omi domi. And the fact that he went from a Rishus HaYochid through a Makom Ptur and landed in a Rishus HaRab and put it down there, he's Chayav. Echad HaMotzi v'Echad HaMachnis, it doesn't matter in which direction he goes, whether he starts in Rishus HaYochid and ends in Rishus HaRab or vice versa. V'Echad HaZorek, or for example, he throws from a Rishus HaYochid over a Makom Ptur, landing in a Rishus HaRab, the Echad HaMoshit, or for example, he has another person and he picks up the object and he stretches his arm out, holding that object such that the other person will receive it passively in his hand. In all these cases, even though he goes through a Makom Ptur in the middle, nevertheless he's Chayav. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai disagrees in two cases, HaMotzi HaMachnis. These are cases where he's walking and he's carrying something, potter. In this case, he's potter because Ben Azai holds mahalech ka'omei domi, which means that when he gets into the stayo, he actually puts it down in the stayo, at least according to the halacha. However, in the cases of Moshe, vazorek chayav. Why? Because here we don't have the principle of mahalech ka'omei domi. He's not walking, he's just simply stretching his arm out, or he's throwing an object. And therefore, the fact that it goes through the airspace of a makom ptur is irrelevant. He's still going to be chayav because the akira was in a makom chiyuv and the hanocha was in a makom chiyuv and therefore he's chayav. Rabosai, we are about to start what easily could be classified as the most important brisa in all of Masechta Shabbos and possibly in all of Masechta Eruvin. This is the famous brisa, you have to know this, called Arba Rishuyos. We're going to learn this brisa. It's going to take us 10 minutes. But honestly, if you want to know this brisa, you have to review this 1,000 times over. Because this is the fundamentals of all of Hotzah and all of Erevin. You got to know this by heart. But don't fool yourself into thinking that in the next 10 minutes, you'll all be great scholars understanding the four Rishuyos. I have to be honest with you. You got to review this over and over and over again. But let's just do it on a superficial level.
If this is such an important principle, how come Rabbi Yehuda never included it in the Mishnah?
I don't know. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa. Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos. There are four categories of Rishuyos in Shabbos. Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, V'Charbalis, U'Mokom Ptur. These are the four Rishuyos. Now the Bryce explains. Ezohi Rishus HaYochid. Now Rishus HaYochid works in two ways, but they're really the same in Halacha. One is what I call subterranean, and one is above ground level. The first case is subterranean, and that's called Charitz. What happens is they dig a ditch in the ground, and what are the dimensions of this Charitz? So in order to appreciate that, I'm going to fast forward for a moment to the case above ground. And that's called a gader. So we're on ground level, and you build a fence around an area. How tall is the fence? The fence has a minimum height of 10 tefachim, 10 tefachim. Probably something similar to the height of this table, just roughly. But it also has to have a width. The width is 4 tefachim square. Correct? So if you have these two dimensions, you have a width of 4 by 4 tefachim, plus you have the height of 10 tefachim, that is a Rishus HaYochid, and that's above ground. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa. What about a charitz? A charitz, as we said, is air that was dug out. You know, you dig out the dirt. And it's amok. It has the depth of asor tefachim and rachav, and it has the width of arba al arba tefachim. So this is a pretty serious ditch. And now what happens is we view the outside of the bar, I'm talking below surface level, right, subterranean, as if it were mechitzos. So all of Rishus HaYachid is about mechitzos. What's the minimum size of a mechitza? 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim makes a mechitza. You and I would think that's a small mechitza. It doesn't impress us. But it's a mechitza. It's a mechitza linyan Shabbos. It's a mechitza linyan Sukkah. It's a mechitza linyan Mavui. It's always considered a mechitza. It's got the height of 10 tefachim. And again, the fact that you have an area that is surrounded by mechitzas of 10 tefachim, that in and of itself is not enough to create a Rishus HaYachid. I have to add another condition, that the width of the area is 4 tefachim square. And then the Braisa says, Zohi Rishus HaYachid Gemura. Gemura is an extra word in this Braisa. The Gemara is going to talk about that extra word. V'ezehi Rishus HaRabim, Sratya Uflatya Gedola Umevos HaMefulashim. The Braisa gives us three examples of Rishus HaRabim. The first is a sratya. Sratya is a highway that takes you from one city to the other. The second is a flatya. We spoke about flatya before. That is the city square, you know, the center of the city where people just, they flood that area. It's a very wide open area. And then we have something called a mavoi mefulash. Mavoi mefulash means that it is an area that is very wide. I'll explain how wide it is, and it takes you from one part of the Rishus HaRabim through an alleyway, which again, this alleyway is extremely wide, and you end up in the other alleyway. There are no solid, there are no walls that separate you, not on this side of the alleyway, nor on the other side of the alleyway. So the Rishus HaRabim on both sides sort of flows into the Mavoi. And therefore, it's all part of one Rishus HaRabim. What is the minimum width of a Mavui, and for that matter, of any Rishus HaRabim? And Rashi and Tosfos point out it has to have the width of 16 Amma. And we believe that we're going to come back to that in just a minute, because that has to do with the Machna Yisrael in the Mishkan. So again, the word Mefulash means that there's no stopping, there's no blockage, there's no wall at the end. You go straight through from one side to the other. And now the Braisa takes a little bit of a break before we get to the other two Rishiyas that make up the four to talk about the first two. Ein motziyah Rishus HaYachid zo l'Rishus HaRabim zo. You're not allowed on Shabbos to take from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. And that's what we call Hotzah. And then v'yemachnisim Rishus HaRabim zo l'Rishus HaYachid zo. If he takes it in from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid, that was the discussion that we have with the Oni and the Baal Bais. The Oni takes it out of Rishus HaRabim and puts it into Rishus HaYachid. That's called hachnasa. Im hotzi v'hichnis. The word vid means or, either for hotza or hachnasa v'shogeg chayev chatas v'mezid onush kares v'niskal. Fine, we'll get back to that a little bit later. Now we get to the third Rishus of the four. And that's Avol Yom, that's a sea. Bika is a place where there are many, many fields, but they're not surrounded by mechitzos. But again, these are privately owned fields that are off the Rishus HaRabim. And then we have something called Istevanis. And the word Istevanis comes from the Greek, and it refers to a place where the Sochrim, right, we said that there's a place called a Flatya Gedola, where everybody comes and they buy things, they sell things. That's a public area for a marketplace. That's a Rishus HaRabim. It's very wide, it's very accessible. But the Istevanis are the places right in front of the stalls, you know, where each person sells his own merchandise. And those are very much blocked off from Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, if they're not part of the Rishus HaRabim, what are they? Are these places called Rishus HaYachid? Well, Rishus HaYachid requires what? Mechitzos. And there are no mechitzos here. There's nothing that knocks it off. And that's called a karmelis. The word karmelis comes from the meaning of the word bika. It's an area that's set aside from Rishus HaRabim. And what's its status? So now we get into what's called derabbanans. the status of Karmelis is the status of a Durabonon. On a Duraisa level, it's a Mokom Ptor, because it's not a Rosh Hashay Rabin, nor is it Rosh Hashay Yochid. However, the Rabbanan said they were worried about this place. It looks a little bit like a Rishus HaRabim, and people are going to think if you're allowed to carry in these places, insofar as they're accessible to the Rabbim, you might be allowed to carry in a real Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, the Rabbanan made it into a Karmelis. And what are the laws of the Karmelis? Number one, Ein Nosim V'Nosnin B'Tocha. You're not allowed to carry inside a Karmelis. Just like in a Rishus HaRabim, you're not allowed to carry more than four amos. You're not allowed to carry four amos in a Karmelis. In that sense, the Rabbanon gave the Karmelis the status of Rishus HaRabim. However, it's only the Rabbanon. Therefore, Nosav and Nosan Betocha, if he violated this Iser, he carried four amos in a Karmelis, Potter. He's not Chayav. Next, the second din of a Karmelis. Ein Motzian Betocha Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to pick up an object in a Karmelis and take it into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. In that sense, the Karmelis is considered a Rishus unto itself, and we don't take from a Rishus into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. V'lom Rosh Hashanah Rabim l'socha, and the vice versa. V'yei machnisin Rosh Hashanah Yochid l'socha. You cannot pick up an object in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and take it into a Karmelis, which again, on a Duraisa level, that would be perfectly permissible. But the Rabbanan gave it the status of a Karmelis, and in this context, it's like a quasi-Rishus HaRabim, v'lo mitocha Rishus HaYochid. You can't take it out of a Karmelis into Rishus HaYochid. So in a certain sense, the Rabbanan are upgrading the status of this area, which on a Duraisa level is a Makom Ptur, and they're giving it the most chumradika, you know, those stringent kind of status, that basically you have to treat it both like Rishus HaRabim l'chumra, you can't take it from Rishus HaYochid into the Karmelis, you can't take from the Karmelis out to Rishus HaYochid, into Rishus HaYochid, but at the same time, they consider it l'chumra like Rishus HaRabim, you can't take from Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis, or vice versa. But v'im hotzi v'hichlis patur. Okay, now, we have something called chatzeros and mevos. Chatzeros, which means that many houses in a row spill into a common courtyard, and here we're getting into the laws of Erevin a little bit, the little taste of Erevin, and the same thing is going to apply in the case of Mevovos She'eino Mefuloshim, which means you have an alleyway that takes you from Rosh Hashanah Rabim into this alleyway, all the chatzeros spill into this common alleyway, but it's only open on one side. That's called Eino Mefulosh. And in such a case, the Rabbanon said that this Mavui needs what's called a Tikkun. You have to fix it up. If you don't do the following, then which is called an Eruv, then you're not allowed to carry. So let's say, for example, in the case of a Chatzer, which is a common courtyard that services many different Batim, all the people that live in the Batim have to get together. That's always a good idea, right? Lech Knosis Kol HaYehudim. And they have to make an Erev. That's called an Erev Chatzeros. An Erev Chatzeros means that they set aside Mazon Shtei Sudos, and that is owned by the entire, by all the Batim that share that Chatz. And then Mutter, only after you make that Erev, are you allowed to carry from your house into this common courtyard. And Lo Erevo Asur, but if there was no Eruv, you're not allowed to take from the Chatzer into your house, nor are you allowed to take from your house into a Chatzer. That's as far as Eruvei Chatzeros are concerned. Then there's something called a Mavoi which is not Mefulash, and the Rabbanan said that you're not allowed to carry in the Mavoi unless you set up either a Korah or a Lechi. A Korah is a beam that goes on top, and a lechi is a vertical pole that's on the side of the entry into the mavui, and all that is to make a heker so people will realize that this area is a rishus hayachid. It's like building a fourth machitza, so to speak. Again, there are only three machitzas. There are two ksalim on the right, one on the right, one on the left, and one at the end of this alleyway. And now you've added at the beginning of the alleyway, the entrance into the alleyway, a fourth machitza. Now, how that fourth machitza works, for that you have to learn Masechta Erevin. Now we get to something called an iskupa. An iskupa is the threshold, which means that there's a certain area between the outer Rosh Hashanah Rabim and your house, which is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And what are the dimensions of this iskupa? This iskupa has a height of 3 tefachim. So it's not exactly similar to our thresholds, which are very, very low. And that's lovely. That's like the whole different sugya. And they're very narrow. What do I mean by narrow? The iskupa does not have the width that we need to set it up as Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't have 4 tefachim square. So the Brisa says the following. The status of the iskupa is that of a makom ptor. Therefore, notel mi balabayis v'nosein lo. A person could be standing outside the house, right? He's standing outside the house in a rishus harabim, and l'chatchila, he's allowed to give it to someone let's say the balabais, for example, who's standing on the iskupa. Why? Because the iskupa, insofar as it doesn't have the width of 4 tefachim, it's a makom ptur. V'chein, no sein lo, v'notel me ani. In other words, let's say, for example, you have an object that you're holding on in your house. You're allowed to give it to someone who is standing on the iskupa, ubilvad, but there's one condition. Shelo yitol mi balabayis v'nosein li ani u'me ani v'nosein le balabayis. Now you have 3 participants. You've got the balabayis who's inside the Rishus HaYachid in his house. You've got the ani who's outside in Rishus HaRabim. And you have a 3rd person who's standing on the iskupa. So this is a great idea. If you want to get it out into Rishus HaRabim from Rishus HaYachid, then all the Baal Bais has to do is give it over to the person who's in the middle. He's standing in Rishus Makom Ptor, and therefore the Hanocha was in a Makom Ptor. And then he hands it over to the Ani who's out in the Rishus HaRabim. So it went from a Rishus HaYachid to a Makom Ptor, from a Makom Ptor to Rishus HaRabim, and everything should be okay. So Rabbanan said, no, that we're not allowed to do. That's already trying to, you know, to circumvent the law, so to speak. It's called harama when you try to circumvent the law. However, natal v'nasa, let's say he violated this isur, so he gave it from Rishus HaYachid over to the person on the iskupa, which is in a makom ptur. From that, he passed it on to the person outside in Rishus HaRabim. Shloshtam ptorim, no one is going to be chayav achatas. Now the Braisa quotes Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is called in the Lashon Hashas Acherim. Acherim Omrim, iskupa has the following status. It's either Rishus HaRabim or it's Rishus HaYachid. Interesting. These are Doraisa halachas according to Rabbi Meir. We said that iskupa has the status of Makom Ptor insofar as it's too narrow. And the answer is, says Rabbi Meir, Mishamesha Shtei Rishoyos. It could take on the status of either Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid. How do we determine one way or the other? Says the Gemara, Bizman Shah Pesach Pasuach, if the door is open, then Kilifnim. It has the status of Rishus HaYachid, meaning I'm standing in my house, I open the door, the entranceway to my house, and I get onto an iskupa. That iskupa is an extension of my house. Why? Because the door is open. There's nothing blocking me from the iskupa. But Pesach Noel, when he locks the door or closes the door, again, that's another issue, not for us, Kilachutz, then it has the status of Rishus HaRabim. Right? Because then it's you know, the iskupa is outside of the door, if you follow. I'm inside the house, so it's outside the door. It's on the other side of the door. And then it becomes an extension and gains the status of Rishus HaRabim. V'mhoisa iskupa gavoa asara urechava arba Rishus liatzma. Rabbi Meir holds that this iskupa, this threshold, if it's 10 tefachim high, again, it's a more of a very prominent kind of an object, and it has the height of 10 tefachim. Urechava arba, it has the width of 4 tefachim, which would make it into Rishus HaYachid, and in that sense, we should be allowed to take an object from the inside of the house out to the iskupa. No, says Rabbi Meir, we're not going to allow that. Arezu Rishus liatzma. It's set up as a Rishus unto itself. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Meir, we really have 5 Rishuyos, because we have a 5th Rishus, which is called an Eskupa. Amar Mar, the Gemara goes back to interpret the Braisa. Zoi Rishus HaYachid. Why did the Braisa have to tell me, after describing, you know, the subterranean that's 10 tefachim down and wide four, and the above ground which has a gadar, the fences, that Mechitza, you told me that it's Gavoa Sora, it's Rechava. So why did you have to add the words Zohi Rishus HaYachid? Obviously you're coming to exclude something. Lemute Mai, Lemute Hod Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is a very revolutionary Shita. He holds that you don't need four mechitzos to set up Rishus HaYachid. Not only that, you don't even need three mechitzos to set up Rishus HaYachid. All you need are two mechitzos. If you have an area that is surrounded, is set aside by two mechitzos, that makes it into Rishus HaYachid. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Yeser Al Kain, above and beyond your definition, the Chachamim's definition of Rishus HaYachid, Omer Rav Yehuda, now watch what happens here. You have a street and you have one house on the right side, another house on the left side with the Rishus HaRabim in the middle. So the facade of one house and the facade of the other house sets up what we call mechitzos. And this area in between the two batim is set aside from the Rishus HaRabim by two mechitzos. That's why you have to be very abstract here when you talk about mechitzos. And Rabbi Yehuda says that area is called the Rishus HaYachid, between the two batim. And therefore, Oseh, now we're on to Daf Vav Amid Beis, Lechi Mikan, V'lechi Mikan, Okora Mikan, Okora Mikan, V'noseh, V'noseh, Boemza. According to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, since this is Rishus HaYachid, it lends itself to the same tikkun that a mavui would lend itself. Right? A mavui, though, Eino Mefulosh, has three machitzos. It's set aside by three ksalim. And therefore, you're allowed to carry the mavui on a deraisa level. It has the din of Rishus HaYachid. The Rabbanan didn't allow you because all the homeowners, right, that bound on these two sides, they all spill into the mavui. So the Rabbanan required a heker to make it a place that's obviously set aside as a mavui, as the extension of the batim and the chatziros, rather as an extension of Rishus HaRabim, and they required a lechi and a korah, as we discussed earlier. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, in this case, we have an area that's set aside by two batim, and we see two mechitzos on two sides of the batim, going in the middle between the two batim, then you're allowed to carry from the bayis into that area, which has the status of Rishus HaYachid, as long as you set up a lechi or a korah. Why? Because that area between the two batim is identical to a mavui. Amru lo, the Chachamim responded, they were really up in arms here, Eima Arvin, Rishus HaRabim, Bekach. You don't have a Rishus HaYachid here, this is Rishus HaRabim. This is the extension of the highway, of the byway, of the street. Nobody stops there between the two batim. They keep going with all their merchandise. And therefore, if it's a Rishus HaRabim, then we don't allow for a Korah or a Lechi. A Korah or Lechi is meaningful when you have a Rishus HaYachid, you have three mechitzos. But if you and we're going to set up this artificial sort of imaginary fourth mechitza through a Lechi or a Korah. But in the case of Rishus HaRabim, you can't be metakein a Rishus HaRabim with a Lechi or a Korah. Lechi or Korah is only meaningful when you have Rishus HaYachid. So if you holds there is a Rishus HaYachid because it's between... because this area is set aside on the right and the left by mechitzos. But the Chachamim rejected that. The Chachamim say that you have to have a minimum of three mechitzos, and the fourth mechitza will be supplied by the lechi and the korah. Now the Gemara asks the following. What's the word gemura? Famai kori le gemura. Why did the Braisa have to add the word gemura? It's a real McCoy total. I would have thought. The Gemara is now going to reject the Havamina based on the word Gemura. What was the Havamina? Keep Ligi Rabbanan Aleid Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the Rabbanan agree fundamentally with Rabbi Yehuda that an area that's set aside by two machitzos is already considered Rishus HaYachid. But what the Rabbanan required was that you're not allowed to carry into that area from Rishus HaYachid because it looks like a Rishus HaRabim. So Mao de Temaim would have thought, keep Ligi Rabbanan Aleid Rabbi Yehuda. When did Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Lo Havi Rishus HaYachid. In other words, they say that it doesn't have the status of Rishus HaYachid. The Rabbanan are going to be Machmir. They're not going to allow you to be metaking this area for carrying into it on a drabbanon level, because they don't allow lechi and korah when there are two machitzos. It's too similar to a shusarab. We have to allow it. But how do you mean l'talta? That means if you want to carry, let's say, arba amos within that area, they're not going to allow you to do so. But maybe the area itself, technically, is erish shusayachid. Maybe the rabbanon would agree fundamentally that an area that's set aside by two machitzas has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Two machitzas is enough. And therefore, Zorek, if let's say you were standing in Rishus HaRavim and you threw something into this area between the two batim, Module, they would agree to Rav Yehuda that he's chayav from Melechus Zorek, because he started in a Rishus HaYochid, he started in Rishus HaRavim, and he threw it into this area that's set aside by two machitzos between the two batim, and he's chayav for putting it down in Rishus HaYochid. Kamash Malon, that's why the Braisa adds the word Gemura. Gemura means that only when you have Gemura, Gemura means Nigmar, complete dominion on machitzos, the total number of machitzos that you have. Like, for example, in the case of the Chritz or the Gadir, they have four machitzos surrounding this area. That's a Rishus HaYochid. But if you only have two machitzos, that's not called Gemura, and therefore it does not have the status of Rishus HaYochid. Omar Mar, let's go back to the Braisa. So we said that a Sratya and a Platya and a Mavoi Mefulash that enters into Rishus HaRavim, Zoe Rishus HaRavim. Again, the Gemara is going to ask the same question. Lemu'ute Mai. Why did you have to add these words, Zoe Rishus HaRavim? You've already told me three examples. You gave me three examples of Rishus HaRavim. Why do you have to add the words, which are superfluous and unnecessary, Zoe Rishus HaRavim? And the more answers, Lemute, to exclude another opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, has nothing to do with the original opinion of Rabbi Yehuda about Rishus HaYochid when it's set aside by two machitzos. But rather, Rabbi Yehuda codified in a Mishnah in Erevin, Disnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Erevin, with regard to something called passe muvos. Okay, this is a sugyan erevin called passe muvos. What happens is that there's a Rishus HaRavim, and in the middle of Rishus HaRavim there is a bar, and that bar serves as a kind of well. It has water in it. Water collects inside this bar, and the Rabim are going through this area. They would like to take out water from the bar. Again, it's not the cleanest water, but it's good enough to feed your animals. So you can imagine, for example, I'm just throwing out an example, the Ole Regel, right? There are masses of Jews coming to Yerushalayim for the Regel, and they need to find places to get water, you know, to feed their animals. Now, like if you've ever walked long distances in Europe where there's no Eruv, and you're not allowed to carry water, and let's say the shul is like an hour's walk away from you, so you have to figure out where you can drink water on the way, right? Yeah. So here you have a place where you have a bar, and there's water in the bar, and that's going to be good water, but the only problem is, the bar has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. It is 10 tefachim deep, and 4 tefachim wide. So the Rabbanan had to come up with some sort of a leniency, perhaps allowing you to take the water out of the bar and put it up on top of the ground space around the bar. And that, l'chora, is a melacha d'oraisa of hotzah mirshus hayochid out into Rishus HaRavim. So they created an institution called passe mavos, which means that on four corners around the bar, you put up a sort of an L-shaped pole. Again, it has to have certain dimensions, which maybe we'll get into if we have time. And what that does is it sets up the area with imaginary mechitzos. And I don't know if I've mentioned to this to you. I think I have mentioned it to you, but it bears repetition that the concept of mechitza, based on what's called halacha l'moshe miSinai, has what's called godasig mechitzos, godachis mechitzos, they're imaginary mechitzos. And what happens is that since you've designated on the four corners around this bar these pasim, then we view the pasim, again I have a diagram here if anyone wants to see it, as if there was a mechitza that completed from one pas to another pas, and then from this pas to that pas, that pas, this area is set aside by four machitzos. Again, it's not going to help you carry the water because you're on your way, so you're going to get back into Rishus Sarabim, but it's going to facilitate the heter of taking it out of the bar, at least to put it within the area that is surrounded by these four pasim. And that's great enough to feed your to drink your animals. However, Rabbi Yehuda is very machmir on this. He says, you know what you're going to have to do? In order to rely on this heter of pasi muvos, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to redirect traffic. You're going to have to be careful and make sure that the rabim don't go within the pasim. And there's no, all there is airspace between the pasim, so there's nothing that prevents them. And he has the principle called rabim mevatlim mechitzos, that even though there's such a thing as imaginary mechitzos, those imaginary mechitzos are conditional on the fact that the rabim don't break into that area that is set aside by these imaginary mechitzos. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im haisa derech rishus harabim afsikoson, if the ovrim v'shavim, the passers-by, will break into this area between the pasim, then yisalkenu litzdadim. You're going to have to somehow redirect traffic to make sure that they go around the pasim, either to the right or to the left on their road. But if they go through the pasim, then the whole deal falls apart, because rabim mevatlim mechitzos. They are mevatel, they nullify the mechitza that is an imaginary mechitza. Chachomim are not impressed with this. Chachomim omrim eino tzarech. There's no need to be mesalik the rabim, because you have mechitzos. And ein rabim mevatlim mechitzos. The fact that the rabim go in between the mechitzos, that does not disqualify the mechitzos. They still have the status of the mechitza. And therefore that whole space that's within the area of the pasim, around this bar, is all Rishus HaYochid. And when the Tana of our Brisa added these words, Zoi Rishus HaRabim, what it came to tell you is that Zoi Rishus HaRabim is only a place where there are no mechitzos. If there are mechitzos, that becomes Ois Rishus HaRabim. It's no longer Rishus HaRabim, but rather it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. And this, despite the fact that A, the mechitzos are imaginary mechitzos that are created by the pasim, and B, even though people are breaking through this area, this airspace, it still retains the status of a Rishus HaYochid for the heter of allowing you to take the mayim out of the bar. So the Gemara now asks the same question it asks early, Vamai Karle Gemura. Why did you have to add the word Gemura? Aidi Detani Resha Gemura, Tani Nami Seifa Gemura. You know, since we needed the word Gemura in the Resha, as we explained earlier, then the Brisa, for symmetrical purposes, adds the word Gemura in the Seifa. The Gemara now asks, wait a minute, if you're listing all areas that have the status of Rishus HaRabim, is Lechshov Nami Midbar. What about the desert? And I'll prove it to you. The desert has halacha status of Rishus HaRabim. D'otani, we have a Braisa Ezi Rishus HaRabim. We have Sratya. We have Platya Gedola. We have Mavos Bifuloshim, the three cases that were mentioned in the first Braisa. And now the second Braisa adds a fourth case called the Midbar. So is the desert a Rishus HaRabim? Well, it's certainly tezam, you know, it's 16 amos wide. It has no machitzos. It has no ceiling on top of it. The rabbim are allowed to get access there. Omar Abaye, the status of the midbar depends. And there's one period of history, in the history of mankind, in which the midbar, as codified here in this last brisa, has the status of Rishus HaRabim. That's when? Kan bizman shi Yisrael shruyim b'midbar. This is for the 40 years that the Jewish nation traveled through the midbar. During that period of time, it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Kan, but our brisa that we started with of Dalad Rishus, bizman azeh, and there are very few people traveling through the midbar. If you take a look quickly at Tosis, Dibri HaMaskil, Kan bizman shi Yisrael shruyim b'midbar. This is one of the most important Tosis in the Masechta Shabbos. Oh, my Rebbe always taught us, be careful about the small tosasin, they're very important. Mashma k'tzas di ena rishus rabim elim kein mitsuyim sham shishim ribuy. You need 600,000 travelers on a daily basis in order to make it into rishus rabim, because the paradigm of rishus rabim is the midbar at the time of Klal Yisrael. And there were 600,000 Jews that went in and out of the area. And this, my friends, is an extremely important tosus as far as the laws of Erevin is concerned. Amar Mar, we learned in the Braisa im Hotzi vehichnis bishoge chayv chatas b'meizid onish koras v'niskal. So the Gemara asks, "Bishoge chayiv chatas pshita." We know that any violation that engenders a chiyuv misa, if you did it b'meizid, engenders a chiyuv chatas bishoge. Why did you have to teach me this law? I know it. And the Gemara answers, "I need it for the sefer, not for the reisha. Chatas, you don't have. I'm just telling you that b'meizid onish kares v'niskal itzrichali. That's the case I need. Hanami pshita." We know from Psukim in the Torah, the Mekoshesh Eitzim, and so forth, in Bamidbar Perek Tesvav, that they put him to death, and the reason they did so is because he violated Melechas Hotzah B'mezid. Do I not know a Pasuk in Chumash? HaKamashmon K'derav, T'yomar Rav, Motza Megillah Storim, he found in a very secret document. The reason why it was kept secret is because at that time, it was very, you know, it was very iffy whether you're allowed to write Torah Mikhsav down, Torah Shvalpeh, excuse me, down in writing. But he found such a Megillah star in Bei Rab Chia in the Beis Medrash of his uncle Rabbi Chia. But it said in that document that Isi ben Yehuda Omer, one of the Tanoim, Avos Malachas Arboim Chaser Achas V'Eino Chayev Ela Achas. There are 39 Malachas, but you're only Chayev one. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Eini, could that be so? The Mishnah for Tnan in Perikal Gol says, Ovos Malachos Arboim Chaser Achas. It says that there are 39 Malachos. V'avidabai, we ask, Minyan Alamali, why did the Mishnah feel compelled after listing the 39 to tell me there are 39? On Rabbi Yochanan, Shemason, Kulam, Behelim Achas, no matter how many violations you did in one Alama, one forgetful, you know, you forgot it was Shabbos, you did as a million Malachos. You'll ask me, Rabbi Berzon, there aren't a million malachas. There are only 39 malachas. The answer is there are a million malachas. Why there are a million malachas? Rabbi Osai, help me out here. Because we have not only avos, we also have toldos. What's the maximum number of chatos that you could have to bring on any particular Shabbos if you violated everything, so to speak? And the answer is, the maximum number is 39. Chayv al kol achas v'achas. You're going to be chayv for each malacha. And if you do a malacha and it's told that you're only chayv one, so if you did the maximum number of malachos, the maximum number of chatos you could be chayv is 39. So you see clearly that you're chayv for 39 malachos. It's impossible for Isi ben Yehuda to make any sense that you're only chayv once. With, in the case of Shogeg, you're chayv only one chatos ela ema, but rather we have to rewrite the script of Isi ben Yehuda. Eino chayv al achas mihen. Out of the 39 malachas, there's one single malach, he doesn't tell you which one it is, that does not generate a chiyuv chatos or a chiyuv misa in the case of Shogeg and Mezin. Now, theoretically, according to Isi ben Yehuda, any one of the 39 malachas could be a candidate for being that one that he doesn't identify that is potter. So hakamash malon, that's what the Tanya of Abraisa wants to tell us when it says b'mezid onosh misa, karisu misa. Hakamash malon, this one, malachas hotso, which is the subject of Abraisa, is mehanach delo mesafkan. That's not one of those that you could have a doubt about, and you could raise the possibility that maybe that's the one that Isi ben Yehuda. So if you asked me, I would have said, if I had to choose one of the 39 for which you're not chayiv, I would have chose Malechas Hotzah, because Malechas Hotzah is called a Malacha Grua, if you remember. Right? Malechas Hotzah is very iffy. You don't really change anything. There's not a drastic Maisa Bracious over here. What have you done? But no, this Bryce wants to tell you that even within the context of this guessing game, the joker card that we have to choose from the deck, of that one single malach that Isi ben Yehuda would say is excluded from Misa, Hotzah is not the candidate. Now, Abbas, I see we ran out of time. I'll just quickly read the next few words in the Gemara just to say that we finished off Vav. Omar Mar, the Brisa says, Aval Yam Ubika Vistavonis Vakarmelis Eina. Now it's very strange. The Gemara asks the following question. Bika, Eino Lokirshus Aram, Lokirshus Ayokh, Lokirshus Aram. You have Bika on the list of a Carmelist, but tonight we have a Mishnah in the Sechta Taros that a Bika, a a valley of which is full of different fields, that during certain times of the year, it actually has the status of Rishus HaRabim. So Bimos HaChama, during the summer months, it's a Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos, but it's Rishus HaRabim L'Tuma. We have a principle in Tuma that Sofek Tuma Rishus HaRabim is Sveik Otar. So we can consider this Rishus HaRabim. So nobody's going to bother you if you go in there, and people go in there for various reasons during the summer. Bimos HaGshamim, when it's the rainy season, then it's Rishus HaYochid L'Kan U'L'Kan. It has the status of Rishus HaYochid both for Shabbos and for Tuma, because people don't go in there during the rainy season. And Sofek Tuma Rishus HaYochid is Tame. In any event, we see that as far as Shabbos is concerned, the status of the Bika is identical with that of a Rishus HaYochid. And that's true not only during the winter months, where it's a Rishus HaYochid even as far as Tuma is concerned, but even Bimos HaCham, even during the summer months. The Hiluch Rabin, the Rabin don't go into these fields. You know, they would be trespassing if they went into the fields. And therefore it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. It's apparently has mechitzos, it's surrounded by walls, and it's certainly wider than four tfachim. And therefore, why does our Braisa classify a bika as a makom ptor on a Doraisa level, which means on a Darabana level it's called a caramelist, when in fact we see clearly from this Mishnah that the status of a bika is identical with Rishus HaYochid. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop for today. And let's see, if today is Vav, I'll take questions. Vav, that means tomorrow is Zion. That means that Shabbos is Ches. That means that Sunday is Tes. So I'll see you on the 9th.
No shiur tomorrow?
I hope that I always forget who's in charge of giving the shiur, but there will be a shiur tomorrow. It's a shiur, but not by me.
I brought
down. Okay then?
I always thought that a sea and a bikkur were defined as a calmness.
Correct.
So why does it say the word calmness in addition?
Oh, that's the next Gemara's kasha. That's going to be on Daf Zion. Why did you have to add the word karmelis? All the above are a karmelis. Yeah. Karmelis is the same kola for all the above. That's going to be the Gemara's kasha on Daf Zion. Okay, we didn't get to that today.
We'll be here tomorrow then, Mark.
Okay then?
I'll be here tomorrow.